Welcome to Elevate. I'm so happy you're here with me today, and I cannot wait to share this episode with you. As an evidence-based coach, mentor, and entrepreneur, I'm obsessed with learning and personal development as it's transformed my entire life, as well as those I get to work with. And to be quite frank, it's literally the entire reason this podcast exists, to fuel your growth, gain perspective, and acquire knowledge. So buckle up, friends, you're in for a treat. And as always, thank you for supporting me and the show so we can continue to elevate our own lives as well as those you share this with. Now, let's get into it. If you're looking to improve your health and wellness, then you've probably seen that the coaching industry is everywhere all the time. There's influencers and coaches on social media, everywhere you look, and of course, every article that you read or every Google search that you make, there's somebody offering a service to you. Now, I've worked with dozens of coaches during my lifetime as an athlete and as a fitness enthusiast, and I am now a coach who's worked with thousands of people, and I have seen a lot of mistakes in the coaching selection process. And after going to an event last week in Las Vegas, I got asked by dozens of people, there are so many educated people here, but how do I know who the right person is for me to pick? And so I wanted to break down the framework that I would recommend that you use, or questions that I think that you should think through when it comes to selecting the right person who's not only going to connect with you as an individual, but who also knows what the fuck they are doing. So if you don't know who I am, hi, my name is Kate and Michelle. I have a master's in exercise science. I'm getting my second master's in clinical psychology. And my personal focus when I'm coaching people is bridging the gap between psychology and physiology to help you cultivate long-term transformation and find food freedom. So today I'm going to break down really important things that I see, really important things that I think that you should consider when it comes to making the right coaching selection for yourself. So let's dive right in. As soon as you open an Instagram or a social media app, maybe even TikTok, right? There are influencers all over everywhere that you look. There's also a nice container of PhDs and scientists, evidence-based coaches, and I think each side of this coin has their flaws. And so what I'm going to do first is break down kind of the influencer, what the positives are, what the negatives are, and kind of how I would filter through that process. And then I'll break down kind of the evidence-based scientific side of things and where I think it can be problematic, and obviously breaking down things to look out for. And then I will kind of tell you what I think is the best choice to make based on my own personal experiences and, of course, what I see across the board. Now, I want to be super transparent. I am a coach, so I do have my own biases, and I am not going to sit here and say I am the best coach for everyone, because I absolutely am not, okay? I have my own temperament, I have my own philosophies, and they may not mesh with you in your journey. Now, this video is not about me and my coaching philosophies, but I do want to be transparent about the fact that I do have firm beliefs, and I do have my own dieting philosophies around what the best practices actually entail. So now that we can lead with that getting out of the way, let's dive into the influencer. So influencers are everything and everywhere all the time, with their own opinions, own experiences, own stories, and testimonies. And these things can be very enticing. I do think that most people that get into any job or career do it out of a personal desire. For example, I got into coaching. I was an athlete when I first started coaching people. I wanted to work with people who are athletes to help them pull out their greatness, and I wanted them to be able to achieve the goals that they had. Nobody believed I could play Division I basketball coming from Vermont, and I set out and I accomplished that goal. And I wanted to help other female athletes be able to do the same thing in the realm of basketball. And then, of course, I tore my patellar tendon, went on to learn how to build muscle but also get stronger, and then I got my master's in exercise science at USF. But I did all of those things because I wanted to have the knowledge and the skill set to be able to achieve my own goals. And the trickle-down effect was that I had not only the experience, but the education to be able to help other people do the same thing. And so I think that this is where influencers do really well with connecting with people, right? An influencer who's lost 100 pounds, 200 pounds, 150 pounds, 50 pounds, 20 pounds, or somebody who's healed their relationship with food, somebody who's overcome an eating disorder, somebody who's achieved X, Y, and Z that maybe you aspire to also achieve. They're really good at the storytelling and personal connection side of that experience, which is why working with them or the desire to work with them can be so enticing, because they have the experience and they are kind of where you ultimately would like to be. Now, the downside of that experience is that most of them don't actually know what they're doing. They know how to tell you what they did, which again, doesn't necessarily neglect the fact that it could work for you, but it doesn't mean that that's the only way to do things. And without proper education, we are dealing with health when we're in the health and fitness industry. when we're dieting people, or we're giving them meal plans or nutritional plans or macronutrient distribution plans or workout plans, all these things, we're still dealing with a human being in their health. The downside of that experience is that most of them, I don't want to say all of them, but a lot of them have no idea what they're doing. They're just telling you what they did and hoping that you'll get the same result. Or they'll read an article or two, or think that because they're a CPT in some way, shape, or form, that they know everything about nutrition or training, which is far from the truth. Now, I'm not trying to suggest that any certification is bad, but they're also not that difficult to achieve. If you've ever taken a certification, I would say the most complex of them all would be NASM, because it does have an element of anatomy and physiology in it, but like ISSA or other ones are not necessarily that difficult to study and take, and then all of a sudden you're certified, even if you've never trained somebody in a gym before. The downside of working with somebody who is an influencer, I would say, is that they don't necessarily have the education to be able to do this with many different people and have many different tools and many different systems or many different approaches to actually fit the context of the individual that they're serving. So that would be some things that I would say are positives on that side of the coin, and some of the things that I think can be detrimental on that side of the coin. To the other side of the coaching industry, we have all of the evidence-based, like PhDs, scientists, experts. And one thing that's positive, obviously, is they have the education to know what the fuck they're talking about, and they know what they're doing. They understand anatomy, physiology, hormones, metabolism, strength and conditioning, training. I mean, if they've gotten an education with this, they've spent years studying, especially if they've published research or worked in any type of research setting. They not only know what is shown to be applicable in research outcomes that they're studying in different populations of people, but they also understand how to read research, how to interpret research, which a lot of people make claims about research on the internet, but they don't actually know how the fuck to read what they're reading, or where some of the limitations in maybe the methodology or the outcomes of this study lie in that. And so we can get people that cherry pick information, make a statement about it, or make some broad claims about it, and then people actually believe the shit that they're saying. We see this literally all the time. So on the education side, I will say the best part about that is that they actually do, they should know what they're talking about, and they do understand how to use different things. They know how to take the evidence or the understanding of physiology, anatomy, and whatnot, and then be able to delineate that through critical thinking to reverse engineer what would look like a customized plan for somebody else based on their understanding of all these different mechanisms throughout the body. So bonus points on that side for understanding what the fuck they're talking about. Downside of that side of the coin is that not all of them are very good at connecting with people. And I think that this is something when I was early coaching was something that I really struggled with. I would talk in very broad scientific terms, because that's how you talk when you're writing research or speaking research or literature, or you're using large words, you're being very short, sweet, to the point, you're making your point, and that doesn't really connect with people. So the downside to being an evidence-based person or somebody who really knows their shit, has done the research, has gotten their education, who's practiced this stuff and studied it for long periods of time, is that while you know what the fuck you're talking about, you kind of miss the connection point with people. And so that's where a lot of people might really respect evidence-based coaches or people that do have their PhDs or masters in certain types of research or in certain types of disciplines, but it's like they can't make the connection point with the clients that they're serving. And this is where people will hire somebody who's really smart, but they don't understand what the fuck they're talking about, and they're not necessarily the most empathetic, compassionate individuals when it comes to working one-to-one directly with people. And so the downside is, at least for clients that have come into my business working with people on that side of the coin, is that they didn't feel seen, heard, and understood. They didn't feel connected to. It's not that the approach didn't work. It's not that the plans didn't work. It's not that they weren't great. It's that people come into coaching because they also want somebody that they feel connected to throughout their journey. So what is the best matrix of all of this? I would say it's honestly the combination of the two. You want somebody whose story you feel connected to, somebody that represents where you want to be, somebody that understands the emotional turmoil of overcoming some of the obstacles that you yourself are trying to battle through, while also having the education and understanding of how to do this and be able to build you an actual customized approach. So it's not just one or the other. I do think that when it comes to hiring somebody, working with somebody, trusting your health in somebody else's hands, obviously it's important that they should know what the fuck they're talking about. But again, I do understand kind of the human psychology of being pulled or compelled to want to hire or work with somebody who represents what it is that you want to achieve. However, like I said, there are consequences to working with somebody who doesn't necessarily have the education or practice to guide you through to ultimately achieving the goals that you have for yourself. And so I do think that if you are going to work with somebody, you want to work with somebody who knows what they're talking about, but also can read a room and has some of the soft skills when it comes to communication, connection, compassion, empathy, and being able to really be a part of your journey. Those are the two differences as far as like what I see in some of the questions that I have. Now, I do think that also understanding what your specific goal is really important. While we have a lot of education, like I said, I have two master's degrees. I'm getting my second master's degree in clinical psychology. My first one was exercise science. I studied metabolism, mostly metabolic adaptations, psychological adaptations when it comes to dieting. And obviously I competed in bodybuilding. So I've done the extreme dieting stuff. But if somebody wanted to come to me for programming and progressions towards powerlifting goals, right? It's not that I don't know how to program that. I've worked with powerlifters. I still do. But I'm probably not the best coach for specificity around that type of goal, right? There are powerlifting specific coaches, right, who really do study this and do have strength and conditioning, CSCS, or a master's in that type of dynamic or that specific outcome goal. So you would be better off if you wanted to train for a powerlifting meet to hire a powerlifting coach. I think where the problem comes is when coaches want to do everything. Right. So I, again, my business focuses on behavior change. I do a lot of psychology, a lot of rewiring subconscious stuff. I do a lot of habit restructuring and a lot of education around that. I used to coach in bodybuilding. Those two things are very different goals. I still work with a lot of bodybuilders, to be quite frank, but it's mostly because I really dial in and focus on the psychological adaptations of severe calorie restriction so that we can troubleshoot that along with metabolic adaptation. That was what my first master's was in. So I'm very well versed in how to avoid some of those really, really deleterious, some of those really, really big consequences of stupid dieting protocols. When it comes to specificity of a goal, I think it's important for you as a client to go, what is my actual problem? What is the actual goal? What are the things that I'm fundamentally struggling with? And who's the best person for me that I feel connected with, but also has the education to get me there? And I think if you can ask yourself the right questions, you will get the right answer and lead yourself to the right outcome. Now, the other really important element of this is please do not listen to your friends. I can't tell you how many times I have hired somebody just because a friend of mine worked with them and they were not the right fit for me. And I don't mean that they're bad people. They fit really well with my friends, their temperament, their story, their goals, whatever that might be. But for me, and I'm talking specifically in my health and fitness pursuits, they were not the best fit for me. And I think there's lots of reasons why that is. But I think it's really important that if somebody gives you a recommendation, you do your own research on that individual and what you actually want. I think oftentimes we can jump on teams or do these big things. But the downside of working on a really large team is that you don't have that one-to-one personal connection with people because they have so many clients. So if you really want somebody who's more connected to you, then you might want to go with somebody who limits their roster capacity, has an upper limit on that, and maybe has more in-depth communication with their clients like calls. Right. I used to do coaching where I would coach. I mean, I had over 100 clients at a time on my roster. So now I've limited that to 50. And I do calls with my clients. And so I personally learned from that experience that me as a coach, I actually like to feel way more connected to my clients than just email updates. That's personal. That's a personal choice that I want. And that's what my clients that I serve need. So it's different for everybody. But I think if you can take the time to really assess where you at, what do you need as a person to be successful in your journey? And what type of temperament does the person that you want to work with have? How do they communicate? What communication style do you need? What are the blind spots that you've had in your journey? What are the things that you're afraid to experience again? And being able to communicate that effectively upfront. So the expectations on both sides of the coin are very transparent and clear. That is going to make your coaching journey a lot more effective down the road. Now, the other thing I will also say, as a client, communication is huge, right? Coaches are great, but they're not mind readers. I'm a psychology master student, okay? I'm still not a mind reader. And so you being able to communicate effectively to the person that you're working with is going to make your relationship significantly better. Okay, skipping check-ins, not communicating what's going on. If you're struggling with something, if you need additional help, it is not their job to chase you. Coaches are coaches. They're not babysitters. And so understanding what lane they're working in, their job is to guide you, right? If you don't go to practice, your coach isn't hunting you down, going to your door, ringing up your phone. They might call you once and be like, what happened? But if you miss practice, you're not playing in the game. That's just how it works. And the same thing with coaching. If you're not showing up and checking in, then you're not getting adjustments that you need on time to be able to continue to progress towards your goals. And then you being upset at your coach for not sending you updates or checking in with you, it's like you have to take that step first and advocate for yourself. So remember that you are in control of where this journey takes you. And it doesn't matter whether the coach is, I mean, on some level, your journey is in your own hands. Their job is to guide you. But if you don't communicate or show up to the process, it doesn't matter. And oftentimes people will blame the coach for their inability to show up, which is not you taking extreme ownership over your goals. It's different if you are showing up and they're not responding for 3 fucking days. Like, that's definitely problematic. That should never happen. But if you are just not checking in and then you're mad at them for not following up with you every 5 minutes, you're looking for the wrong thing. At least any coach that is busy in their business and knows what they're doing and has clients that want to show up to the process and commit to that, they're not going to hunt you down. So make sure that you're in a position where you are ready to truly invest in yourself. And investing in yourself doesn't just mean financially. It means with energy. It means communication. It means showing up. It means doing the work. It means asking good questions. And being a part of your own process so that you walk away with this, not just with a transformation, but with the education and the skill set and the tools and the tactical strategies to be able to navigate those things as you go forward in your own process, whether that's going through a muscle building phase or a fat loss phase, any of those different things that you want to inevitably continue to improve upon, you need to have the tools and the education and the skills to be able to navigate those on your own, right? We're here to teach you stuff. I personally do not like it when people don't learn anything. If you're not willing to learn, if you're not willing to make mistakes, if you're not willing to fuck things up, if you're not willing to try imperfectly or take imperfect action, then I'm probably not the coach for you, because you think you have to be perfect from day one. And then every time you fail or fuck up or make a mistake, you self-sabotage. And that's just a really difficult person to work with, because they're not willing to say, I made a mistake, or I fell short this week and I'm supposed to be perfect. Nobody's perfect. But until you have that paradigm shift, you're going to continue to struggle when it comes to achieving your weight loss goals. So this is a short video, but I wanted to cover a question that I frequently get asked about how to pick the right coach based on what you see on the internet. So I hope this was helpful. And if you have any other questions, feel free to leave a comment below, and I'll talk to you next time.